Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
All right, welcome into another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report and NBC Sports. With me, as always, my co-host Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. Remember, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom. Do that. Leave us a five-star review. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Send us any basketball questions or advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Cody, Dwayne Wade said some stuff.
Dwayne Wade is still talking quite a bit. I think a lot of people saw him with the powerful message alongside Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul, LeBron James, his good friends. They opened up the ESPYs with the powerful call to end gun violence, more or less. Great TV, a great message.
Yeah, if you haven't watched that, you should watch it.
Definitely check out. So that was at the ESPYs in Los Angeles. And Dwayne Wade popped up again today. New Bull Dwayne Wade, who we should point out, was introduced as a Chicago Bull on the ESPYs before he was introduced as a Chicago Bull by the Bulls as John Greenberg of The Athletic so eloquently pointed out on Twitter, which I got a kick out of, Sean.
Yeah, that's a fun observation. You know what? I have not. I mean, they're not going to introduce him like with a press conference until the China tour is over that he's doing later this month. But I haven't even gotten the press release yet from the team saying that they've officially signed him, even though he was in Chicago the other day to do the physical. So I don't know what's going on with that, but I feel like that should be done at some point soon.
Yeah, it's all about that fine legal print by lawyers and people who are smarter than us and understand that fine print. But Dwayne Wade, still in California. He was at a seminar, a summit of some sort for Variety today that was co-hosted by Sports Illustrated and the brilliant Lee Jenkins. And he had an interview in which he was asked about just what it's like to be a Chicago Bull, if it's set in yet, when it will. And Dwayne Wade still sounds like a man who is more amazed that he's a Chicago Bull than anyone else in the NBA. And we should point out everyone in the NBA is shocked because Dwayne Wade said, quote, "I may be a little different because I grew up a Bulls fan. So when I put on Chicago Bulls basketball gear, which I've done every day since I've got the gear because I'm trying to get used to it as well. Don't get me wrong. But it rings a little different in my ear than it probably rings to the rest of the world," end quote. So Dwayne Wade, he's still astonished that he's a Bull, it seems like.
I think the rest of us still are, too, and it's not going to feel real until, frankly, the first preseason game sometime in October. We haven't gotten the schedule yet, but at some point in the early October, we're going to see him suit up for his first preseason game with the Bulls, and that's when we're going to be like, okay, wow, he's really on the Bulls. Right now, it's still all theoretical. I really wonder if we're going to get, because I saw a handful of Doug McDermott jerseys at the United Center over the course of last season. I wonder if those people are going to keep those, or are they going to put duct tape over them and have them be Dwayne Wade jerseys? Because if you're somebody who modifies jerseys to be the new player of that number, you kind of just scored now with Dwayne Wade taking over for Doug McDermott.
You sure did. And I mean, but I don't want that to inhibit Bulls sales of Dwayne Wade jerseys and that merchandise. But, I mean, Doug could have two main-selling jerseys, you know, if people just put the duct tape over his old jersey and he has the new number. And that's really all we're waiting on now in Bulls offseason is what Doug McDermott's new jersey number is going to be, I think.
Do you have any guesses?
Good question. I'd have to track back to high school. I wonder if he wore three all the way back then.
I know he wore it at Creighton.
Yeah, I have some friends in Ames, so maybe I'll do some investigative research and see if he ever wore another number other than three in high school. But otherwise, it's just like I think it's a guessing game because he's got to be careful. Can't go wearing 23 or any number of any other Bulls legend here or anything like that. So he's got plenty of time, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what he ends up doing and what that's going to say about him. I'm just going to Google image real quick and see what we can come up with. Oh, he wore number 42 at Ames.
42. Oh, there's maybe that's his new number then. That's terrific. Off the top of my head, it's completely available. I can't remember of a Bulls player wearing 42.
It's not retired.
That's for sure. Only a few numbers are. But more to the point, of which Doug McDermott and Dwayne Wade factor in here a little bit, we got a question on Twitter from WindyBoy18, and he said, will Jimmy Butler better excel with this season's roster, the makeover of the Bulls here, or was he better off with last season's? And I want to point out something that I tweeted today. The Bulls have 8 new players among their 15 players, which is more than 50% roster turnover, which is a lot. You usually only see that on bottom feeder NBA teams a lot of the times. And this is the first time the Bulls have had 50% roster turnover since 2012, and it's really the biggest roster makeover since summer 2010 when they chased LeBron and D. Wade and Chris Bosh and kind of struck out and then added that really good second unit alongside Carlos Boozer, the big signing. But Sean, will Jimmy Butler better excel with this group, or was last season's better?
I mean, I think in theory there are a lot of guys on this roster that he's going to be able to play really well with. Like, I really like, you know, what Jerian Grant can bring as like a pick and roll point guard. And then you've got Denzel Valentine as another, you know, a threat to shoot. They can get Jimmy some open shots if guys have to double him. And as we've just been harping on the whole offseason, the Rondo and Wade stuff just make it difficult because those guys all need the ball. Jimmy is going to want to still be handling the ball a lot. He's going to want to have the offense be run through him. And those guys are still there, and they're going to be on the floor with him a lot of the time, and I just don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, I think last season's roster probably was better suited for Jimmy. There's no reason he shouldn't have been able to get along better with Derrick Rose, and Mike Dunleavy can shoot it from the wing. Obviously, he was hurt for the first 50 games of the season. But, I mean, there was a fair chance that he should have done a lot more last year. I like the idea, and last year didn't work, so there's a fresh start for Jimmy. But he didn't embrace Fred's system, obviously. That's a hard question. It's a good question from WindyBoy18 on Twitter. I think if he is better this year in the system and excels better this year, I think that's even further kind of just showcasing how poorly he and Derrick Rose saw eye to eye on the basketball court. And it's a big black mark for both of them last year, not being able to play better. But he could have much of the same problems because Rondo wants the ball. Dwayne Wade wants the ball in his hands, just like Derrick Rose did last year. The one factor that could help Jimmy is he is sliding over to small forward, and theoretically, you shouldn't have to be the outside shooter as much from there. We'll see how that plays out because someone on the Bulls has to do it. But I don't know. Do you think that makes a difference at small forward?
I think if you're two guards in the starting lineup were guys who could shoot, that would make more of a difference. But like you've still got Rondo and Wade there, and neither of them can shoot. If they start, I would imagine at this point, Fred hasn't said anything one way or the other, but I would imagine that Mirotić is probably going to be the starting small forward, but he'll be the only guy in the starting lineup who can shoot if that's the case.
Yeah. Moving on to the next question. WeatherGeek918 says he cited a Wall Street Journal article that said the Bulls were top 10 last year in pace when Derrick Rose was on the floor. They were usually bottom 10 when he was off of it. Can Rondo keep up the quick pace that Fred Hoiberg wants? Your thoughts, Sean?
I mean, theoretically, you know, he is the kind of point guard that likes to go out and, you know, get guys in position and make plays. I just don't know how much he's got left as far as athleticism. He had that knee injury a few years ago. He hasn't really been the same guy since then. I'm not sure. I mean, I think Fred seemed to think it's going to be a good fit. They watch film together. They think that it's going to work out, but I'm kind of in the mode of wait and see, and I'm a little bit skeptical at this point. I don't know about you.
I love how our theoretically, the use of that word is up to like 4 or 5 on the theoretically counter already. Like that almost sums up the Bulls' entire season. What's waiting for them? Theoretically, they could be better.
Right. I mean, theoretically, if Dwayne Wade and Rondo and everybody stays healthy and those guys can figure out how to share the ball and Fred Hoiberg can get, you know, Rondo under control and Mirotić can shoot consistently and one of the three guards can shoot consistently, yeah, they could be good.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to, practically speaking, my answer is I don't expect them to play faster than they did last year. If you can't play really fast with Derrick Rose, and as the question pointed out in the article, they were in the upper echelon or top third of the league in pace when he was on the floor. If you can't do that with Derrick Rose consistently, though, if you can't get to the next level and play at a breakneck speed with him, I don't think you're going to do it when you add Dwayne Wade, 34 years old, Rajon Rondo, 30, going on 31 years old. I just don't see it playing faster. I actually think the Bulls will probably play a little bit slower. I mean, they can be more efficient in transition, pick their spots, and have better finishers in the sense that Dwayne Wade's a good finisher. Jimmy Butler's a good finisher in transition, and Rondo can make really smart plays. So they can certainly become more efficient. I just don't expect them to play all that fast. Fred will still want to and try, but I think he also knows he can't just throw players into a system and a pace that they're not going to fit. I mean, those guys literally could just get tired from being old if you do that and play really fast all game.
Yeah, they could, and it's I just don't really see. I mean, I think the second unit can play fast. It's going to be kind of the opposite. You know, as that Twitter user pointed out, the Bulls played really fast when Derek was on the floor, and they played slow when he was off. They think it might be the opposite this year, where when the second unit is up there with, you know, Denzel Valentine and Jaren Grant and you know, Mirotić and Felicio, you know, some of the younger guys that they have out there, they might play faster than they do with the starting unit, where it's all these guards who are, you know, older and past their primes and, you know, not a lot of shooting.
Yeah, and you forgot Isaiah Cannon, the newly signed Bull. I feel like he wants to play fast, don't you? Like, he's young, he's quick, he likes to shoot. I haven't watched a lot of 76ers basketball, but I feel like he'd want to play fast.
Whatever gets in the most buckets.
That's very true. Staying on the point guard theme, Brian via email asked us, and you can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Brian asks, what's the likelihood of keeping Spencer Dinwiddie on the roster, possibly as a playmaking two guard, or is Jaren Grant taking all the available minutes kind of there? I should say possibly as a playmaking two guard alongside Isaiah Cannon on a second unit. I don't think Spencer Dinwiddie's factoring into the top 10 of the Bulls at all, probably not even the top 12 at this point. So the likelihood of keeping him is fair as like the 15th man. I don't see the likelihood of him factoring in playing a lot is minimal right now. I think he's fourth out of four on the point guard depth chart, I would say.
I would tend to agree with that. He has there have been indications that they want to keep him on the roster. Again, he got waived to create the cap space to sign Wade, and then they brought him back to the summer league team, and he's going to be at training camp. And so I think they wouldn't have done that if he didn't have a real chance of making the roster. So I think there's a pretty good chance that he does make the team. But yeah, it's going to mostly be as the 14th or 15th guy. I can't imagine he's going to be playing a lot of minutes.
Yeah, I don't think, if you're the Bulls, I don't think it's a smart idea to give Dinwiddie minutes over Jaren Grant anyway, because Jaren Grant's, again, first-round pick in the 2015 draft. He's a big reason, not the reason, but he was a big factor in making the Derrick Rose trade. They wanted to get rid of Rose, but they also liked his upside. Bulls considered drafting Jaren Grant in 2015. He went a few spots before Bobby Portis fell to them in the early 20s, but that's a guy they want to give opportunity to. That's a guy they like. His pick and roll potential. So any minutes you're giving Spencer Dinwiddie would be taking away from Jaren Grant, which I don't think that would be smart, because don't you think you need to give him a chance to kind of blossom?
Yeah, you do, especially since after they made the Rose trade, they basically talked him up as essentially getting a first round pick. And this was a guy that we know for a fact that they were high on last year during the draft. We heard that last year as well as this year after the trade. So, you know, yeah, that's a guy, I think they believe in him. They really like what they have in him, and they want to give him a chance to succeed. So I think we're going to see the majority of the backup point guard minutes go to him at this point.
Yeah, and staying on the note of can player X get on the floor, DeBulls asked us on Twitter, Tony Snell is doing three-a-days with Taj Gibson out in California, according to Taj Gibson's Snapchat. Just so we're all about sourcing on this podcast, so we want to let you know that's according to Taj Gibson's Snapchat via a Twitter user who sent that to us. So we're all about that. But Tony Snell, does he have a chance of seeing the floor? DeBoles asks on Twitter.
I mean, if somebody gets injured, sure. I can't imagine after the year that Tony had last year where he basically played him. He had so many chances to establish himself as a consistent rotation player, and he wasn't able to do it. And unless somebody, especially you know, now that they have those three wing, they have Rondo, Wade, and Butler all in the starting lineup, and then you have McDermott who's going to need to get some minutes at the wing. You've got Denzel Valentine who needs to get some minutes at the wing. And then I just don't see any place where Snell is really going to get any kind of extended playing time.
Yeah, and you mentioned he's had a lot of opportunity dating back to the Tom Thibodeau era his last year. I think Tony Snell, if he didn't start, he played like a leading role on opening night of the 2014-15 season for the Bulls or their second game. I think LeBron was at the United Center back with the Cavs. And like Tony Snell's out there on the floor because Jimmy Butler had a sprained ankle or something.
Yeah.
Like, he's had so much opportunity, and he just produces way, way, way too little in the box score. And the thing about Snell, again, it's not always like – it's not like he's out there getting torched on defense because he does have length and can kind of stay in front of his guy. It's not like he's dribbling the ball off his foot into the lane every time. He literally just doesn't do a whole lot. He just stands there on offense and isn't a threat. And he's had so much opportunity, and I just don't see any path with Denzel Valentine on the roster, a guy who you want to get minutes at shooting guard on the wing when he can also kind of run point guard a little bit maybe, but you have so many point guards, most of Valentine's minutes are going to come off the ball. I don't see Tony Snell doing that, but hey, 3 days in LA or California, wherever they're at, Sean, like maybe that's helpful.
Maybe it is. He started 33 games last year, 22 the year before. So he's definitely had plenty of opportunities to make an impact. He played 64 games last year, 20.3 minutes per game, which is a career high for him. And he still didn't really do a whole lot. He shot 37.2% from the field, 36 from three, which is respectable, but 37 from the field, which is not good. And he didn't do a whole lot else that really justified putting him on the floor.
Yeah, and Tony Snell's out there working with the same trainer that Taj Gibson and Jimmy Butler, I believe, have been working with. So those three
Travel
have
Gaines,
been crossing.
Yeah,
those three have been crossing each other's paths. And that leads into another good question that we both liked when we saw this from Brian via email. And again, this is why we give you the email address. If you have a little bit more of a long-winded question, feel free to send it to lockedonbulls@gmail.com. But Brian is asking who in this locker room is going to be friends with each other. Who will be Dwayne Wade's closest friend? Will it be Jimmy? Will it be Taj? Jimmy, Taj, and Tony Snell seem close. He also asks, what are the likelihood of Rajon Rondo and Nikola Mirotic forming a really close bond? I have no idea why he picked those two, but have at it, Sean. Like, who in this locker room is going to be friends? It's a legitimate question when you have eight new people in a locker room that didn't get along last year all the time, didn't always see eye to eye. What do you see happening here?
You know, I kind of feel like Dwayne Wade and Taj Gibson are going to be BFFs. They just seem like they kind of have the same attitude. They're both very businesslike. They're both, if this season goes off the rails, they're both going to be the guys like sitting in the corner like, I'm too old for this. Like, I can kind of see that alliance forming. The Jimmy Wade dynamic is going to be interesting because we've heard some conflicting things about them over the year, few months where, you know, there are some reports that there's tension between the two of them. And then there's also some reports that, you know, because they're both Marquette guys, Wade has been a huge mentor to Jimmy. That's something we're going to have to see play out. Other than that, it's kind of up for debate. There were a lot of guys, like everybody was kind of tight with Derrick Rose last year. That, you know, Derrick and Joe especially were pretty tight, you know, Joe and Taj. And then, you know, a lot of those guys are gone. So there's kind of an opportunity for new guys to form friendships. And I think that's going to be a fun little side story in this year.
Yeah, and I think the Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade friendship right now or just their relationship falls somewhere in the middle of loving each other and hating each other because I think it was stemmed from some competitive fuel. They're both competitive guys, have guarded each other, played each other a lot through the years here. And I don't get the drift that Dwayne Wade has been some sort of mentor to Jimmy Butler because of their shared Marquette history, which came like 8 years or 9 years apart right. anyway. That's a little different there. But hey, we've never seen them show up together in the off season or anything and such. But I do think that's really important because I kind of feel like almost there's like this Rondo Hoiberg thing. If they get on the same page and then Butler and Wade can get on the same page, like who needs to attack when, where they fill on the court, who's going to take the last shot. I think that could be a big thing. Like first time the Bulls are down one with 15 seconds left, who do you draw the play up for? And is Dwayne Wade okay with it? If it's Jimmy's play, is Jimmy okay if Fred Hoiberg gives the ball to Dwayne Wade? That'll be a big deal. I don't know how it will go in the locker room. I do think Jimmy Butler, because of just how poorly the season went last year after he assumed the leadership throne, I think he'll be more open to accepting advice or just kind of sharing the leadership role, understanding all of that, because it was an embarrassing bad look for him last year to say, hey, I'm the guy. Oh, hey, there goes our playoff streak that we always talk about that management just flaunts all the time. Gone when I'm the guy. So I think if the Bulls can have some early success, especially, I think they'll be okay. But again, that's kind of the switch there with the Bulls are struggling. These are guys who have an edgy history, guys who have been edgy on the court, guys who have big egos a lot of times. And Dwayne Wade, you're adding one who's won three championships and has earned every right to speak up and be the man and be the voice in the locker room. So that will be a massive thing. I don't know. I don't know what to make of all these other friendships. It could be interesting and fun to see who hangs out with who, I guess.
We'll find. I mean, my impression was last year, a lot of guys just did not really hang out at all. Off the court. Like, you saw a couple of Instagram photos of Nico going to the opera with Pau, but that seemed, I mean, I think they were both pretty close because they both played for the Spanish national team, and they both kind of had that in common. And Nico, the last couple of years, was just getting used to living in the United States, and Pau speaks the same language as him, so, like, there was definitely a connection there. But for the most part, last year, as far as guys in this locker room, everyone just kind of did their own thing when they were off the court, whereas with other teams around the league, you would hear about these guys hang out all the time. These guys are always like going to dinner together. These guys are doing stuff. And some of that stuff is frivolous, but as far as team chemistry and team morale goes, if guys are friends with each other on the team, that stuff does matter a little bit.
Yeah, that's good. I'll make this prediction. I got a prediction for you. It's okay. Not even really bold.
Okay.
But I think Doug McDermott here is going to open up his arms to anyone and everyone. He's already been practicing with these younger guys, Denzel Valentine, Jaren Grant, the Bulls summer league team. I think people are going to take the liking to Doug quickly, like Valentine, Grant, and maybe Doug can be a conduit to Jimmy too, because Doug and Jimmy are tight. They worked out, not this offseason, but one before, they would work out together. I think it was in San Diego where they worked out together. Jimmy Butler hosted Doug McDermott. So those two are close, fairly tight, respect each other, and Doug kind of looks up to Jimmy a little bit. So maybe Doug McDermott's a conduit, but like Doug's the man when it comes to just being a personality and being really nice, a cool dude. So I think he'll form relationships with everyone else. It'll be interesting to see if like Dwayne Wade takes someone like Jaren Grant or something under his wing. That could happen too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just talked about Doug for a little bit. He's the kind of guy, like, we've known him for a few years now. He is he's a pretty laid-back guy. He's one of those people where you talk to him, it's kind of impossible not to like him. Whether he becomes a big presence in the locker room, he's one of those guys where, like, it depends, you know, how seriously people take him as a voice in the locker room is going to depend on how he plays. If he has a big year and keeps shooting the way he did last year while also adding some other NBA skills, which he kind of hasn't done at this point, if he becomes a legitimate contributor in a positive way, then I think he has a chance to become a voice in the locker room just because he has a kind of personality where he's really easy to get along with for a lot of different kinds of people. But, you know, it's going to depend on how he performs.
Yeah, and I think the Bulls would just be happy. Like, they don't really care if Rondo makes any friends. They just want him to keep his act together on the court and find open people and average 10 or 11 assists a game. I don't think his locker room presence, like, I don't think his friendships matter that much. Just get along with Fred Hoiberg, like, have a working relationship that can somehow be managed, and that's
just
all they
need out of Rondo. Just as long as if this, we're at the point with Rondo where if things don't end up with him and Hoiberg the way they ended up with Rick Carlisle, I think we can consider this year a victory.
That's very much true. I mean, we should come back to that question as the season goes along, and we'll give you updates on who in the Bulls locker room is best friends with whom and such. But moving on to another Twitter question, Ray Hollings.
Oh, hold on. Oh, we forgot who everybody's best friend is going to be.
Who's that?
Bobby Portis.
Oh, yeah.
That's everybody's true. Dude. Everybody loves that kid.
Everybody loves Bobby. That should be his the title of his biography someday is what that could be.
Everybody his biography title is Crazy Eyes.
No, very well. I mean, that's a given. But they need those Crazy Eyes too to succeed this year.
Yes.
Because the Bulls need to have a little bit more crazy in them. They didn't have enough of that last year. It was just crazy off the court stuff. To have crazy on the court stuff would be a good development.
Yeah, it would. But
moving on to that Twitter question, Ray Hollings says on Twitter, what are the Bulls getting in second-round pick Paul Zipser? Ray, what they're getting is a 6'8", 210-pound forward. We think he plays small forward. We haven't exactly confirmed that, but small forward seems most likely for Paul Zipser. He shot 44% on three-pointers last year in Germany, playing for Bayern Munich, and that's about all I think we know about him, Sean, unless you have a lot more knowledge.
I don't have a ton of knowledge of him as a basketball player. I just want to point out once again that he has an extra bone in his foot that Adidas had to design a special shoe to accommodate.
So, does he already have his own shoe line? Is that fair to say, or does he just have one pair of shoes?
I think he has them give him shoes. I don't think it's something you can buy in the store. But hey, if he blows up, if he becomes the Dirk Nowitzki of the Bulls, obviously his fellow countryman Dirk Nowitzki has kind of paved the way for German basketball to become, you know, what it is now. If he becomes the new Dirk, maybe he will get his shoe line with the special accommodations for the bone in his foot.
If Paul Zipser becomes one quarter of the basketball player Dirk Nowitzki is, I think the Bulls would be absolutely ecstatic, don't you?
At the very least, he's going to be the Dirk of the Windy City Bulls.
At the very least, maybe he can. He's not playing in Vegas Summer League because he had German national team commitments and was getting his contract finalized with the Bulls. Maybe next year Paul Zipser slides into the Bulls Summer League. I don't know. He's a little bit more experienced. Maybe he doesn't. But he's not helping him out in Summer League this year. But the Bulls are still 3-0. We are recording this on Thursday evening before their game against the Mavericks in the round of 16. So we do not know if they won or not. If they win, the Bulls advance to the quarterfinals on Saturday against the Wizards. But Mr. Chicago Bulls does ask us on Twitter, if the Bulls win Summer League, is there enough bronze for a Fred Hoiberg statue to be erected outside the United Center?
Well, okay, I think we have to correct him on there.
Why's that?
Fred, he was out in Vegas. We talked to him a bunch out in Vegas. Last year he coached the Summer League team because that was his first time coaching in any kind of an NBA capacity at all. This year, Pete Myers, one of his assistant coaches, was coaching the Summer League team. So if the Bulls win the Summer League championship and hang the banner, we're going to be getting the Pete Myers statue, not the Fred Hoiberg statue. We have to give credit where credit is due here.
That is a very good point. I mean, that almost sounds like the Steve Kerr, Luke Walton kind of just the discussion that hung over who deserved all the Warriors wins last year.
I have an idea. How about you just build multiple statues? You build a Fred Hoiberg statue, a Pete Myers statue, and then you unveil them at the same time that you have do the Kirk Heinrich jersey retirement ceremony.
Shotzi, that's where we are never on the same page on this. You love the idea of banners, statues, retirements. Like, I think you got to win, like, big old titles. I said that before in seriousness, and we know they're not going to put up a statue for any Summer League thing. But it is an interesting discussion to have about whether the Bulls Summer League team could keep going, because this might be the most success they have this year, to be honest.
I mean, this is the closest they're going to get to winning a championship, as long as LeBron is still in the Eastern Conference.
I did like the 76ers are once again resting Ben Simmons. I don't know if like they're saving him for a potential semifinal matchup against the Bulls in Summer League, but he's resting on back-to-back nights in Summer League when he wasn't hurt to start with. So I'm just like, that's
did you see Isaiah Thomas got mad at him for it.
He really did. I heard a quick clip of that, but I didn't retain all of it. But why was Isaiah so mad?
He was basically calling. This is just to be clear. This is the former Pistons legend and Knicks GM Isaiah Thomas, point guard for the Celtics Isaiah Thomas. This is the old Isaiah Thomas. He said that, you know, Ben Simmons is getting paid now and he has to be out there playing. And I mean, we have to point out that I don't think it was Ben Simmons's decision not to play. This, it seems like it was probably the kind of thing where this came from the top. Simmons, he was the number one pick in the draft. The Sixers invested so much in him. You know, he's like the future of that franchise. They really don't need him. He played in a couple of games and he looked pretty good for the most part. I have my own kind of concerns about how he's going to do as a scorer, but he clearly is very talented. But if you're the Sixers and he's a guy, it's not like he needs to prove anything in order to make the roster. Ben Simmons does not need to be out there risking injury at Summer League after a certain point.
Sean, he needs hot take. He needs to learn how to win, and it starts in Vegas Summer League. There you go.
It's true. I mean, you can say that, you know, it's Summer League and it doesn't matter, but the Sixers are not as close to the Bulls as winning a Summer League championship. And I'm just stating facts here.
Well, one thing I do want to point out, remember, unless you're the Spurs and it's 1997 that we were just reminded of, and you can tank to get Tim Duncan, winning is almost always better than losing. That includes regular season, preseason, summer league, definitely includes the playoffs. Winning is always better. So however minimal it is for the Bulls, get a win however you can get it.
Yeah, I mean, if you have to play Bobby Portis 48 minutes in this quarterfinal game tonight, then, you know, I think you got to do it. Hang that banner at the Advocate Center.
Very, very much so. I think we've talked too long about Summer League once again, because that's what happens in July, especially mid-July on such a slow sports day in the calendar year. We will be back, I think, I don't know, probably Sunday night with a podcast for Sunday evening, Monday morning. And by then, we'll probably know a lot more about the Bulls Summer League plans. We'll take more questions, or Summer League results. We'll take more questions from you. But as always, if you're interested in emailing us with basketball questions, advertising inquiries, email lockedonbulls@gmail.com. The most important thing, subscribe to us on iTunes at Locked On Bulls. You can follow us at Hyken, at Cody Westerlin. You can also find us on Stitcher, on Audio Boom. And again, tell your friends, tell your grandparents, tell anyone you need to. We appreciate your questions and your listenership as always, but we will catch you soon enough. Folks, thank you.